This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top stories of the day presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. The NFL will allow head coaches to designate a member of their sideline staff to initiate replay challenges, a league official confirmed on Monday. As we know, traditionally, head coaches have been the only member of a team that can declare a challenge by throwing the red flag. That will change this year. If a coach prefers to assign the task to someone else, a decision he would have to inform officials of before the start of the game. Why? I don't get it. Eric Bieniemy returns to the Chiefs after shooting of wife. The offensive coordinator for the Chiefs returned to the team today after a two-week absence following the shooting of his wife, Mia. Bieniemy missed 11 practices after traveling to Virginia to be with his wife, who was allegedly shot by the couple's son at the family home. She was hospitalized on June 26th and has remained in stable condition. Elijah Zion Bieniemy, 27, was arrested and charged July 27th with malicious wounding, use of a firearm in commission of a felony, and discharge of a firearm inside of a dwelling, according to the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office. Sources told ESPN that Mia Bieniemy was shot in the chest and arm. Elijah Bieniemy is being held without bond at a detention center in Loudoun County, according to police. A lot of stuff happened to the WNBA over the weekend. Caitlin Clark got her 8th technical foul by accidentally running into a referee. That was her 8th, so they were going to suspend her. They did quickly rescind a technical foul. Caitlin Clark is stumbling out of bounds, kind of underneath the basket. The referee's there. She kind of clumsily ran into her. Looks at the ref looks at her. I saw the clip. The ref calls a technical foul, and that would have been the 8th. So, but now the WNBA came out and said, no, that's not going to. The Fever appealed the technical foul immediately, and the league reversed the call less than 2 hours after the game. So that happened. And then you had the game over the week, also against the Sky. Dejounte Carrington was assessed a flagrant 2 and ejected after a hard foul across the face and neck area of the Fever's Sophie Cunningham. Now, I've seen this before. They're not good when they happen in the NBA or WNBA. They are probably going to lead, from what I've seen of the clip, to a flagrant 2 and maybe an ejection. The story comes after the fact. The officials announced that there was a wind-up and follow-through with high potential for injury on the play. Carrington left the gym, the floor, went into the locker room, and apparently immediately grabbed her phone and tweeted out, quote, white privilege at Indiana Fever. She posted on her Threads account. Sophie Cunningham was asked about that, and she said, I think the league is taking care of that. This has nothing to do with race. Last year, I did the same thing, and I got kicked out, and I deserve to be kicked out. There's no reason to even play that card. Are you kidding me? Like, that was a nasty foul. It was a bad foul. And it to me, warranted, similar to what Sophie Cunningham did last year, it warranted the flagrant two and an ejection. But instead, we're taking it to, it's a race thing. Okay. All right. I don't understand it. I just don't get it. WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert sent a memo to teams that addresses ongoing discussions around transgender athletes in women's basketball. Well, you guys probably have seen the news. If you haven't, you're living under a rock. But Enes Kanter Freedom, former NBA player, and Royce White, former NBA player, are both now saying they're declaring for the WNBA draft because, and they have both said, they're identifying as women. Listen, this is a logical show. This is a truthful show. Do I believe that either one of them is actually declaring, in their minds, declaring that they are women? No. They are testing the WNBA. It's a joke. It is a joke. But because the WNBA has yet to really define, okay, who's getting in to this league, then you're going to get more of this. And there are people saying, wow, we're making this big a deal over something that's not going on. There isn't a transgender athlete playing in any of the major sports. We have seen it in some of the college sports before. We've seen it in swimming. But we haven't seen it at this pro level. Well, this is going to be news for the WNBA to have to sift through, because until they clearly state who's eligible to play in the WNBA, then they're going to get this. And it is a joke. I do. It's crazy to me. But these two former players are going all in politically. I saw Royce White posting pictures of him in a wig saying he's going to try out the wig in practice. He's going to be moving around. So in an ESPN article published, was a month ago already, feels like a long time, Sophie Cunningham voiced support for barring transgender girls and women from girls and women's sports. For the record, a take I 100% agree with. Cunningham's comments have, of course, sparked rallies for her and against her. And you've had WNBA coaches and other people involved coming out saying, I mean, like the Fever coach, is it Stephanie White saying, I'm not educated enough to talk about this subject. You have others saying, you know, everyone should be able to play. Sports is not a right. I'll say this again. Sports is not a right. Everyone should not be able to play. Yes, you can play when you're in elementary school, but I should not be allowed to play in the NBA or the WNBA or the Major League Baseball or Division I college. I should not be allowed to do that. I should have to earn my way onto a team.
You are athletic. You are not athletic enough.
Not even close, Mike. Not even in my heyday. Not even close. The WNBA hasn't made any public comments on Sophie Cunningham necessarily, but they are now going back and I guess have to rework some of their, basically, Kathy Engelbert, the WNBA commissioner, which I have no trust in her, says, I know many of you have received questions in recent weeks regarding transgender athlete participation in women's basketball, and I expect this topic will continue to receive significant attention. I wanted to reach out to share how we are approaching these conversations in the league office and to thank those of you who have responded to questions from the media with thoughtfulness and professionalism. She wrote that the league will always approach this topic thoughtfully, respectfully, and in alignment with the longstanding values of our league. Second, our players' eligibility rules, unlike the eligibility rules of some other leagues and governing bodies, are collectively bargained. Lastly, preserving the integrity of our game and ensuring fair competition will always remain among the league's highest priorities. The league's collective bargaining agreement states that only players who are women are eligible to play in the WNBA, but it does not include any more specific language about gender identity or sex assigned at birth. On Friday, two former NBA players, Enes Kanter Freedom and Royce White, declared themselves eligible for the WNBA draft, saying they identify as women. They both did say this. She, Engelbert said, "We recognize that this is a complex and nuanced topic, and we will continue to have important conversations with all of you and the Players Association in the weeks and months ahead. We also plan to convene additional discussions and offer listening sessions for any team leaders who would like to participate. Your perspectives and feedback are invaluable, and I appreciate those of you who have already reached out to share their thoughts." The WNBA Players Association released a statement on social media Friday that emphasized diversity and inclusion while saying the group will not be used as political pawns. "We embrace justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion. Those are the values that unite this union and allow it to protect women's sports while creating transformational change. Hate, abuse, and demonization of any person or group of people, including transgender people, only fuel fear, division, and harm. We will continue to have hard conversations, but we will not be used as political pawns."
What's the point of having the W in the WNBA if you're not going to protect women?
Well, they're maintaining that if you identify as a woman, maybe this would be okay for you. So these two former NBA players are testing them on this. And listen, we all know that those two guys are not identifying as women. But they're also saying, hey, if it's as easy as just saying that and saying, no, I'm from now on identifying as a woman, I would be happy to compete in the WNBA and take a paycheck, then they're going to test the WNBA on this. Now, the WNBA will have to come out and say, those two, we disagree. They're not identifying as women. And then, of course, the uproar will begin because they'll simply say, well, who are you to decide? Who are you to speak for me? I'm saying that I am a woman. That is kind of how it goes across this country politically, is we have been told that if someone says, I identify as this, we are supposed to accept that. And if these two players are now doing that, who is the NBA to tell them they are not? Even though we all know this is, they are making a all sides are making a mockery of this debate.
I hope these two get into the WNBA and play in the WNBA and are the best basketball players of all time in the WNBA. And then this whole debate will go away.
We'll see. I want to get back to this at the bottom of the hour. We're going to sidestep this conversation and we're going to catch up with Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. But this is a complex issue. And the WNBA made it more complex by kind of refusing to say, hey, yeah, these are the rules. We support people living their dreams and doing stuff, but we only accept women that are biological women or women at birth or what have you. And this is 2026, 1218 the time. Mark Johnson going to join us next. This is a complex issue, and we'll get back to it here in a moment. Keep it here on the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Before the lights come on, KFKA shines a spotlight on the Platte Valley Broncos for training camp coverage starting tonight at 5 p.m. Brought to you by Agricultural Accounting.
Hi, this is Brock Wisney, former UNC men's basketball player, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show. Glad you guys could be with us here. Just 22 minutes after the hour, connecting with Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, here in just a moment. And a very big season, no doubt about it, coming up for Coach Prime and his Colorado Buffaloes as they hope to make some noise in the Big 12 this year. It's going to be fascinating, man. I mean, it's still a very interesting story. I liked what they were doing. I think I like what they were doing last week. You know, going and obviously visiting, connecting with Troy Calhoun and the Air Force roster, all that. So interesting. I believe they're back in Boulder now, but I do applaud the thinking outside the box. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffaloes, joining us. Mark, my friend, always good to catch up with you. How you doing on this Monday, August 10th? We're getting dangerously close to the start of the season.
Well, it's coming up on us. You know, last Monday I was down in the Springs. I did go down 2 days last week, the reason the Prime asked me today wasn't why I wasn't down there every day. And I said, dude, it's like 3 hours from my house. I mean, it was,
it's a journey for you, man.
Well, and you know, and if folks up in your neck of the woods don't know, I mean, the high school they were at, Fountain Fort Carson, is nearly to Pueblo. I mean, it's on the south end of Colorado Springs. And so I was down there twice last week. It was a good camp. I think there were good things. Monday's practice, they were not good. All right. And Deion and I were talking about that today. He said, yeah, they came out. They were flat. As the week wore on, they got better. They were better today. I was out of practice, obviously, here in Boulder today. And you're starting to see this. I was concerned walking away from practice one. When we did the speaking event together in the Springs, I said, okay, how were the last couple of days? He said, we were really good. And I said, okay, good. Now, I saw it with my own eyes today. And so whatever reason, they came out flat. Maybe it was sleeping in dorms and not air conditioning. I don't know what it was, but they weren't very good on day one. But they've done some nice things improving here in the last 6-7 days.
Now, Mark, obviously there's several reasons for, you know, doing this, going to Fountain Fort Carson, trying to get this, I don't know, a sense of togetherness with this team.
Yes.
Did you, you know, you say Monday, that last Monday that came out did not look good, but then obviously coming out here today back in Boulder, do you get that sense that there was some kind of, you know, camaraderie being built up in the last week or so?
Well, think about the era of college athletics we're in right now. You and I talk about it all the time, right? You lose 50 guys, you gain 50 guys. Guys come in, and in large part, you know, and no one's hanging around. We just did a little post-practice deal with Yaya T, who's been here now. This is his third season. That's becoming a rarity in college athletics. So every year it's getting to know guys. And so I think as Prime looked at this, he thought, okay, what can we do to help speed up that process of continuity, of bonding, of getting to know each other? All the things we look at in college athletics and sports in general, where you play for each other, you trust the guy next to you, all these different cliches we talk about. How can we speed that process up? And so we thought, well, let's do like a NFL-type training camp where you go someplace, you're in the dorms, you're sleeping on small beds, you're suffering in large part together through uncomfortable situations. And so they seem to think at this point that it's helped the process to speed up whatever that is that, you know, maybe now in traditional college athletics we don't see anymore, where this day and age it might take a half a season to kind of get to know each other. And so I think the early dividends, anyway, are positive at this point. We'll see what that means now once we get to the season.
Now, is that kind of more of like Coach Prime looking inward, too, saying, hey, last year maybe we didn't have that sense of team leadership within the roster. I have to find a way to get better in that area. Let's get creative. Let's find something to do.
Yeah, without question. I mean, you know, he, in fact, the two offensive line or three offensive line coaches I spoke today all talked in some degree about that, you know, it's about self-evaluation. Listen, if your fans don't know this, every year when a team is done with a season, the greatest amount of self-evaluation that takes place happens there. They look back on everything. What did we do right? What did we do wrong? How can we change? How can we alter? And so after a disappointing year a year ago, they looked at that and said, wait a minute, there was something missing. Okay, we think it was that cohesiveness, that camaraderie, that brotherhood that you need to play football, which is the toughest sport there is from a physical standpoint. We didn't have that because guys didn't know each other. So how do we build it? And so that's where this idea came from. And so, like I said, that's good self-scouting, as Gary always talks. Gary, when he and I have conversations, always talks about self-scouting. You got to self-scout. They do that during the season from game to game. And you do that, like I said, in the lion's share after the season's over. And so that's what that was all about. And you know, like I said, we'll see if it works. It appears to early on. And so I think that can only be a positive moving forward.
Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Buffs. You talked to us a little bit last week about the quarterbacks on this roster. And, you know, before our conversation last week, I was just basically thinking, okay, it's Julian Lewis. Let's see what this is all about. It's going to be his team now. But you said, hey, not so fast. There's a little bit of a competition brewing with Isaac Wilson as well.
Yep.
What have you seen or heard in the last week? Do you feel like Lewis is taking control of this competition, or is it still kind of very much in the air?
I think Lewis is taking, you know, when Gary and I were standing in the practice field today, I said, Julian's getting the lion's share. And he said, yeah. He said, you know, after that first day or two, you kind of go, well, okay, Isaac Wilson's going to push him. But I think it became apparent to me, at least that's what our assessment was, that Julian has kind of, you know, taken control of it. Now, does that mean the competition's over? Absolutely not. They've got a lot of practice left till they get to that first game at Georgia Tech coming up in early September. But I think right now the clubhouse leader certainly is Julian Lewis. Now we'll see what happens as time goes on. They're going to have a public practice tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. Prime and I were talking about that. I said, tell me about doing that. He goes, I want these guys to come out and perform, right? They don't want to get beat in front of a crowd. Is it going to be a huge crowd? No, but they're going to have some people out here. They're going to be able to watch now. And so we'll see when that kind of pressure is put on, what Juju does, what Isaac Wilson does. But I think the last, what have I had now, six practices, the last four or five, it looks to me like Juju has kind of said, okay, this is my job. If you want it, you're going to have to come take it. But I'd say right now he certainly is the leader in the clubhouse, and it's looking pretty good out there, to be honest with you.
Mark, in talking about the Fountain Fort Carson practices, getting more roster leadership.
Yeah.
First off, who do you kind of see as far as a handful of guys stepping up and taking on that role? And I guess the follow up to that is, do you really see Julian Lewis taking that step?
Well, and that's going to be something that's going to be interesting to watch because he's a young quarterback. That's a tough deal right there. And, what have we done from a societal standpoint that you and I talk about so frequently with these guys? We anoint them before they have earned it. And I think that's a dangerous thing because one thing that I think it germinates leadership is when you struggle, you fight. You learn to set standards. First, you learn to meet standards, then you learn to set standards. All those different things that go into leadership. I think we're skipping that process when we anoint guys. And so he's a young. Now remember, he came out early, Brady, and so he's supposed to be here right now as a true freshman. Right now, this should be his first training camp, but he came out early a year ago, and so he still is a very young guy. He's 18 years old, and so that will develop with time. Just because you play the position does not make you a great leader. We know that from watching football for a long time. Not all quarterbacks are great leaders. You want them to be. I think as I look at this team right now, he'll get leadership by default, and then he'll earn and grow and mature in a leadership standpoint as time goes on. I think I mentioned Yaya Atiyah a moment ago. I think he's a leader. He's a big personality. He's a big, strong guy, playing center, leading that offensive line. I think Ben Finneseth, is a guy at Durango that has grown into that kind of position. I think he's going to be a guy. You wonder about Gideon Lampron, the kid, the ESPN kid, because he's played a lot of football and he's a linebacker. He's a guy that makes a lot of tackles. That position lends itself to that. I'm kind of watching him. There are going to be some of these other new guys, these skill guys that are eventually going to pop up and become leaders in this team. I'm just not sure after watching now, my third practice, that I can really name many of those guys. But there's at least three names I look at right now and say, yeah, probably those guys find themselves in a leadership position.
Mark Johnson joining us. Hey, I have to make the connection, ask this question too. We've had some of our Bears fans asking about this, but former Bear tight end Fisher Clements, I thought was going to do some really big things for UNC, but kind of battled injuries a lot. Are you hearing anything from him that would lead you to believe we might see a good chunk of him this season?
I think they've got a pretty good tight end room, and I haven't been able to say that for a while. They've got some depth there. I've watched him catch a few passes. Beyond that, I can't say much beyond that, but certainly he's been in the mix, making some plays, catching some balls. And, the cream will kind of rise here as we kind of work our way. But I couldn't tell you right now. Maybe Zach Atkins at this point might be maybe the number one tight end. But outside of that, I'm not sure. There's two or three other guys that have played a little bit here. But, yeah, I think he's in a mix. But I couldn't tell you right now to what degree at this point.
Are there any kind of, strengths that you're really looking at? I mean, is this one of those where, hey, if Julian Lewis has a great season, then obviously this team's, and I know so much of that can be the case with any team with your quarterback, but
right. Do
you look at this and say maybe the running back room? I'm curious to see how Damian Henderson does, former Ram making the change over to CU. Do you look at a certain group and think maybe that could potentially be the identity of this Buffs team?
I think because of the kind of guys they've gone out and gotten on the offensive front, this is a very large offensive line. I mean, somebody posted something the other day after the whole deal about somebody came out and said CU is a small team. Somebody posted the offensive line. The average offensive line size, I think, is like 6'7", like 322. And so it's one of the larger offensive lines in America, okay? I think, and the way this offense sits up, Atiyah was talking today, and Javon McFadden, the Ohio State transfer, were talking about this. The way this offense is set up, they come out off the ball almost exclusively, not entirely, but almost exclusively, like it's going to be a run play, like an RPO. So they come out as if it's a run. They feel they can be extremely aggressive and be a very good running team. If that is the case, and that's always been kind of the bread and butter of what this go-go has been, a very strong running game, and then they, you know, as you're biting on that, they throw it up over the top. And so it's not as finesse an offense as people, I think, assume that it is. It's more of a power offense as I'm learning more and more about it. And so I'm counting on, based on that, what I've seen, the kind of bodies they have out there in the offensive line, I'm assuming this team is going to be one of the better running teams we've had here at Colorado in a number of years. Now, Brady, that's not saying a whole lot, all right? You know, if you're the best rushing team of Colorado the last 10 years, that's like being the valedictorian of summer school. I mean, it's we have not had a good running team here for quite some time. So if they're able to do that on a consistent basis, I think that should be the cornerstone of what they try to do offensively, in which case that line's playing well, in which case those running backs, you know, the guy you mentioned from CSU, DeKalen Taylor, Richardson, all these guys that transferred in, those guys could have a nice year based upon that.
And Mark, I think I've mentioned this to you before, but I just want it to be known. Coach Prime should probably know this. I was able to take Damian Henderson in the college football game and make him a Heisman winner. So it's there. The potential is there, at least if you take the video game seriously, which obviously I do.
If we are in need of you to play him on the video game, yeah. I will make sure that I give Prime a little tidbit there, and maybe we can call you down to get that done.
Yeah, a lot of outside runs, you know, just get outside,
sure.
You know, that contain and just take off with hot, nasty speed. So that was pretty easy for me, Mark, so I'll be ready. I'll be ready when Coach Prime needs some, you know, just how to manage a guy like Damian Henderson, because I mastered that.
I'm sure he will be tapping into that expertise at some point during the next couple months. Yeah, without question.
Mark, my man, always great to hear your voice. Can't wait to hear your voice on the call for a very big season coming up for the Buffaloes.
We're looking forward to it, partner. I look forward to talking to you next week.
Talk to you soon. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Yeah, you got a Damian Henderson, former CSU Ram, is now a Buffalo. To start off-season stuff, he was listed as like the fourth guy, but talking to Mark there, we talked to Brian Howell on Friday, certainly sounds like he is moving up that depth chart and he could be one to watch for the Buffs this season. And yeah, man, Fisher Clements, former Bear, is in the tight end room for the Buffaloes, and big kid, great dude, rooting for him. So Mark says, hey, right now, though, maybe not standing out as much. Zach Adkins certainly appears to be that guy, but who are the rest of these tight ends to watch out for? Will Fisher Clements put his name in the mix? 36 minutes after the hour. Let's get back to our conversation, because this is an interesting one. I'm sorry, but that did dominate the news. This WNBA stuff did dominate the news, and if you don't think it did and you don't think it's worthy of a conversation, then like I said, you are living under a rock. I think the WNBA, I tweeted this out on Saturday night. I said, this is a very unserious league. Tell me why I'm wrong. Faith, tell me why I'm wrong. I want you to tell me why I'm wrong that this league is about a bunch of other stuff other than basketball.
It's about a bunch of whiny people.
It's just a lot of drama.
That's what it's become.
There's a lot of drama.
It's no longer a basketball league. It's using... It pisses me off.
Right,
it should be about basketball.
Yeah, and I'll get to that. But I did get this. Zach Stevens tweeting out, J.K. Dobbins left the Broncos practice field with trainers. That's what we've got right now. Dudes are just, I don't know if anything major. We did get one kind of major injury that will sideline a guy, but you haven't seen that up and down. Matt Henningsen, I think, tore his Achilles tendon. Well, and you don't want injuries to happen to anybody, but he's fourth, like a fourth-string guy. So far, they haven't had any major names. Waddle's been kind of banged up, and Wattenberg's been banged up. You heard about the Nick Benito thing, and then we get this. Let's just get through it. Let's just get through training camp. 37 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Here in Colorado, doing business is more than a transaction. It's a handshake. A neighbor helping a neighbor. And at Bank of Colorado, that's the way it's been since 1978. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado. And as Colorado's largest family-owned bank, we're built on personal service and a commitment to giving back. From local schools to community events, we invest where you live, work, and grow. Because this is more than business. It's home. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I want to thank Lemons Heating and Cooling. It's still going to be hot today, and maybe the cool-off is coming, but you're still needing the AC. And if it's not running the way it needs to, you got to talk to Lemons Heating and Cooling. Free estimates are available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. You don't want to, you know, just get through the next month or so and then say, oh, we'll deal with that later. Get it done now so the next season, by the time we start getting, we roll around and get back to the hot weather again next spring and summer, you'll be ready to go. Lemons Heating and Cooling. Don't put it off. It's miserable. You want to be comfortable inside your home. lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Let's read a couple. Big Hub texting in on the some of this stuff with, you know, the WNBA and how this went down with the foul over with Carrington's foul over Cunningham and then going to the locker room and tweeting out white privilege. Big Hub says, I had this debate with my girlfriend. She said she doesn't agree with her foul, but she says the quote was about how Sophia Cunningham doesn't ever get ejected, but she does. Well, she got ejected on the big one that a lot of people are comparing to. She did get ejected after she was like going to the defense of Caitlin Clark and then she tackled a girl basically. Yeah, she should have been ejected. Cunningham's even come out and said, I should have been ejected for that. But why are we taking it to a race thing in that particular moment? I don't understand it. Now, you had the coach, is it Stephanie White, the Fever's coach, who I think used to coach with Carrington. Here's what she had to say at the podium after the foul.
Your reaction to that, just your thoughts on what happened.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was a hard foul. I don't think that Dejanay intentionally came out to get her across the neck like she did, but it did happen, and I thought it was the right call. But, you know, one of the things about Nay is that she's going to play her butt off, man. She's going to compete. Nobody's going to go walking in for a layup. And so I don't oppose the hard foul. But I also don't think that she intentionally went for the neck.
All right.
No,
you're the head coach of the Fever. Let's not say she's going to play her butt off and she's going to go hard for the foul. And, you know, you're not going to get an easy layup around her. That's not your team. That's not your team. That's not your player. You stand up and say, "Yeah, I thought it was an unnecessary contact there. Yeah, that was not a good play. We're hopeful that Sophie Cunningham is okay, and we're moving on. We're on to Cincinnati. Something like that. Let's not sing her praises after she just took one of your players out. So I don't like that. That's not how you coach.
Well, she just lost the locker room.
I saw Caitlin Clark like during that interview. She's like putting her head in her hands. Maybe she's frustrated. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into that. Faith says, it's sad that these bad apples want to spoil the bunch, but I believe it definitely starts at the top. If a president isn't set to shut these drama-filled incidents down, then it will just continue because it's deemed as okay. Boundaries need to be clearly set, and the example starts at the top. It's really taking away from the league that, believe it or not, has really grown over the years. It has grown. We're all talking about it more. But in some cases, for the wrong reasons. I mean, you've got this. You got these players coming out. You know, we're gonna talk about transgender athletes next week or this week. I think they're gonna have conversations about this. It is. It's just messy. It's messy, and I go back to Caitlin Clark, and I know people are tired of hearing about Caitlin Clark. I get that. But she's still one of your hot rod players, hot rod topics that are, whether you've been watching WNBA for years or not, you have to acknowledge that she's helped gain more fans. If you can't acknowledge that, then we probably can't have a conversation because there's zero doubt that she hasn't been a huge, maybe the biggest part of this emergence of fans to the WNBA. And yet, I've seen the WNBA players, former players, whatever, not really embrace that the way it should be embraced. I mean, Michael, you look at, and I know the networks are talking about Caitlin Clark. I think they are. But a lot of these networks are also the same networks that they have to meet a quota of LeBron James stories in a day. Like, they have to have a certain amount of LeBron James stories. And NBA people kind of roll their eyes and they're like, another LeBron thing. And I'm one of them. But they're embracing their cash cow. One of their biggest names in the league is LeBron James. He's one of the biggest sports figures in all of sports. Same was the case back when Tiger Woods stormed onto the scene. And we didn't shut that down saying, hey, golf's been around a lot longer than Tiger Woods. Yeah, but nobody was watching it, man. Nobody was into it until Tiger Woods was all over the covers of Sports Illustrated.
He wasn't just all over the covers. Wheaties. He was everywhere.
He was everywhere.
He had so many Nike commercials.
And you have to own that. You have to own it, man. And if you can't, like, if you're going to be hockey guy, and I say hockey guy because hockey guy doesn't like when you talk about their sport, but they're also pissed when you do talk about their sport. Or when you don't, I don't know. Either way, you can't be, hey, we've liked the WNBA for a long time. If you're a broadcaster, welcome to the show. Just because Caitlin Clark's here doesn't mean this league's been amazing. No, that's not how you do this. You can't seem to handle it. You got coaches on the team that can't seem to defend their players. So, I mean, he says it's women. LOL, it's going to be some drama. I've seen drama in male sports, too. I've seen a lot of drama. It just seems like the drama is outweighing everything on the floor.
And the basketball, the product just is not good enough. Fix your product, fix your attitude,
well,
and you'll sell tickets.
I don't know if I'll go there. I know we got to take a break here, but it started back with the Caitlin Clark stuff. And they just failed to really embrace that as a league. And then you got the ejection. She got ejected from accidentally like running into a referee. And then the WNBA did the right thing quickly and said, no, that's not an ejection. So good. That's
she
a good sign.
She at least turned around and it looked like she was like, oh, hey, sorry.
I don't even know what she said. Who knows? 12:49 time. We'll take a short break here. I'll wrap up hour number two. We got a clip of the day coming up. We can get more on this if you want. Also, Sean Keeler says Joker needs to stop being the nice guy. No more Mr. Nice Guy for Nikola Jokic. We'll talk about it. Keep it here on the whole show. We'll be right back.
Before the lights come on, KFKA shines a spotlight on the Platte Valley Broncos for training camp coverage starting tonight at 5 p.m. Brought to you by Agricultural Accounting.
Hi, this is Spencer Smith with DNVR Rockies, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It was Hall of Fame weekend. We started with the Hall of Fame game on Thursday, and then we had the ceremony on Saturday. Among those Hall of Famers, Drew Brees. Sean Payton introduced Drew Brees. And man, just to kind of, even the initial phone call Drew made to Sean, telling, you know, asking if he would announce him, if he would introduce him, and then the speech itself, it was a pretty special moment, pretty special weekend. And it just kind of had me thinking, man. I wasn't a big fan of the hiring of Sean Payton or the trading a first round pick for him, but pretty thankful the Broncos have that kind of guy leading this team. Love him or hate him, he's about the dubs. Clip of the day coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.